Winston City Council, December 2nd, 7 o'clock.
It was at 9 minutes.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. Roll call. Councilor White is excused. They have a medical emergency. Roll call. So I've got Councilor Cunningham.
Here.
Councilor Hobson.
Here.
And I'm here. Adjustments to the agenda, please, Mr. McIntosh.
Yes, Your Honor. There's two adjustments to the agenda. We received an application for the open council position today, and we'd like to add that candidate to your appointment interview section. Section 2, it would be item D, Sharon Cooper. I believe Sharon's here this evening. And the second one is in Section 6, which is department reports. Chief Sardi will give a department report.
Great. Thank you very much.
I'm sorry, did you say Mrs. Cooper was here?
I believe she's here, yes.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
No, I really don't. Do you have an extra agenda, please?
Yeah. Thank you, Anika.
Thank you.
Enough copies.
We're going to have to start making more.
I'm going to make some more.
Okay, so we're going to start this interview process. What we're going to do is kind of do a round robin among the three of us asking questions. We're going to start with Edward Frankenstein. Would you please approach the dais, sir? Give us your address, and away we go. We'll start asking questions.
I live at two houses.
Okay.
Sometimes I'm at one, and sometimes I'm at the other.
Well, pick one.
All right.
I don't mean for you.
430.
You're fine.
Southeast Rose Ridge Drive.
Okay. Thank you. We're going to move around the table of the dice here. I'll let you go first. We're going to ask you all the same questions in the same order, and just give us a response that you feel comfortable with. Alan?
So my question, the first question I asked is, why are you interested in joining the Winston City Council?
Well, because I'm retired and don't have anything to do, and I'd like to do be helpful to my community.
Thank you, Dave. Please.
I'm Dave Cunningham, retired Navy. What type of community service have you done?
Used to be involved with the school over here. I was helping with the metal shop, volunteer, and the Umpqua Fishermen's Club.
Thank you.
I'm Scott Rutter, the mayor at this time. Have you sat on boards in the past?
Only on ships.
Okay. Thank you. Dave?
Do you have a special interest in one or more of the city departments or committees, such as the park board, planning commission, public safety board, and or economic development? I can repeat that if you like.
Okay.
I went kind of fast.
Yeah.
Do you have a special interest in one or more of the city's departments or committees, such as the park board, planning commission, public safety board, and or economic development board?
Public safety board. Okay. And Planning Commission.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
So, if you could approve one thing about city government, what would it be?
What's the question again?
If you could approve one thing about city government, what would it be?
Probably police department be a little more friendlier.
Hey, excuse me. Do you have any experience working with budgets or budget processes?
Yeah, I do my own budget.
Thank you.
Okay, the city council meets generally on the first and third Mondays of the month at 7 o'clock. And also meets once a month on the third Thursday of the month. You may also sit on a board, which would require approximately an additional hour per month. Do any of these commitments create any issues for you, or do you have any commitments that conflict with these meeting times?
No.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Nicholas Wiggins, please approach the dais, offer your address, and away we go.
545 Southeast Rose Ridge.
Hey, Nicholas.
How's it going?
How are you doing?
Good.
Why are you interested in joining the city council?
Got two little ones growing up here in Winston. It's where we've decided to raise our family. This is a way for me to have a voice and show my kids that you can make a difference in the community that you live in.
And what type of community service have you done?
I currently sit on the board for the economic development team for the city of Winston.
Thank you.
Have you sat on boards in the past?
No, the economic board is the first board that I've sat on.
Okay, no other experience on?
Nope.
Okay, thank you. Okay.
excuse me. Do you have a special interest in any one or more of the departments or committees, such as the park board, planning commission, public safety board, and or economic development board?
Yeah, so I'm already involved with the economic board. So, business guy. I also play a role in safety with my current job. And, so I think that's always something that needs extra attention.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So, Scott, if you could improve one thing.
No, Nick. I'm Scott.
I call him Scott.
You can call him whatever you want.
Okay,
you
offended. Call me Scott.
Nicholas, excuse me.
Yeah.
I was thinking about Scott for some reason. Yeah. If you could prove one, maybe I'll answer this question too.
Yeah.
If you could prove one thing about city government, what would it be?
That's a tough one. So the city's already doing some different things to help with safety and the safe routes to school. Safety is always something that you can improve on, and so that's something that I think we could all put a little extra attention on.
Thank you.
Do you have any experience working with budgets and budget processes?
Absolutely, yeah.
Well, so
my current role, I'm a business developer, so I work with a local business that helps other businesses, so anything from HR services to recruitment to whatever. So we got to maintain our own personal budget, make sure that we're making a profit, also making sure our clients are making profits.
The city council meets generally on the first and third Mondays of the month at 7 p.m. and also meets once a month on the third Thursday of the month. You may also sit on a board, which would require approximately an additional hour per month. Do either of these commitments create, or any of these commitments create any issues for you? And do you have any commitments that conflict with these meeting times?
No idea.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Appreciate your time.
Thank you.
I should have this ready.
Nika, assume the position. Please.
290 Southeast Grape Avenue.
Thank you, Nika. How are you doing?
Wonderful. How are you this evening?
I'm good. So, why are you interested in joining the city council?
I believe that this is my next step in my commitment to the community.
What type of community service have you done?
I currently am with Hula Aulani. We volunteer in the community doing cultural performances. We teach classes. We provide education on kokua and part of our Hawaiian heritage in the community. I have a nonprofit called Winston Area Independence Day Committee, where I have commissioned to create and hold a annual Independence Day celebration. I participate on Winston Community Unity, Winston Area Community Partnership, and I participate and help with the Mellon Festival Committee on many different levels. I have occasionally volunteered for Ride for 22, which is veteran suicide prevention, and any sort of need I see in the community that people post on Facebook, I'm usually the person that steps up to help.
Thank you. Have you sat on any boards in the past?
I currently sit on the park board. I've previously sat on performance-based interview boards with the Department of Veterans Affairs. Along with that, Champion Program Administrator, and I've also been a union steward and sat in as a participant and minute taker for safety committees.
Do you have any special interest in one or more of cities, departments, or committees, such as the Park Board, Planning Commission, Public Safety Board, and or Economic Development?
Well, I'm currently on the Park Board, so I thought I had a big passion for that. Now, I feel like there's a paradigm shift, and I'm looking at economic development. I see a lot of need and direction that the city can go in, and I'm hoping to be able to participate in leading us in that direction.
Thank you.
So, Anika, if you could improve one thing about city government.
I feel like we really need to beef up our Chamber of Commerce. I also feel like we need a lot more volunteerism. So somehow incorporating within the city's structure, infrastructure, a way to promote volunteerism. Without volunteers, we don't have things like the lighting of the Christmas tree that's happening this Saturday and parades and so on. So I feel that that's a pretty critical piece that the city should be involved in.
Do you have any experience working with budgets or the budget process?
Yes, with the Department of Veterans Affairs, I was what you call a travel coordinator, so I was in charge of the employee travel program, placing people on TDY, any sort of travel status, and we had a set budget that we had to adhere to. So with that budget came requests and processing and making sure that everything was allocated to the right codes. For all due purposes. I'm a mom, I have four kids, a husband who goes willy-nilly spending money, and so we have budgets that we have to maintain in our own home. As a landlord, any property that I help to manage, there's always a budget, so you have to look at your overhead costs, look at what you have, and make choices. Is this who I need to clean the apartment, or will this work for less amount of money? So there's kind of a balance.
The City Council meets generally on the first and third Mondays of the month at 7, and also meets once a month on the third Thursday of the month. You may also sit on a board which would require approximately an additional hour per month. Do any of these commitments create any issues for you, or do you have other commitments that conflict with these meeting times?
I do have a commitment. However, I have already made arrangements to alter my commitment, which is hula.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. Sharon, join us, please.
I live at 230 Northeast Darrell, and I've been living there for 24 years. So I've been living in the ward for 24 years.
Thank you. Sharon, my first question is, why are you interested in joining the city council?
Well, I think everybody in a community should get involved if they have the desire to get involved in the growth and the improvements and the safety of a community and learn all they can to support the decisions that the citizens want and require.
Thank you.
Thank you. What type of community service have you done?
I served on the Planning Commission, and I've also done volunteer work on Meals on Wheels.
Thank you. Have you sat on any other boards in the past?
No.
Excuse me. Do you have a special interest in one or more of the city departments or committees, such as the Park Board, Planning Commission, Public Safety Board, and or Economic Development Board?
Not at this time.
So, thank you. If you could improve one thing about city government, what would it be?
I think it would be transparency. I think a lot of the citizens want to know what is going on with the local government, how they're spending their money, what they're spending it on, and just to be informed with what's going on.
Thank you.
I think it builds a trust with the government.
Excuse me for 1 minute, I was just writing here. Do you have any experience working with budgets or the budget process?
When I was postmaster, I had to keep a tight budget, especially with employees' hours.
Sharon, the city council generally meets on the first and third Mondays of the month at 7 p.m. and also meets once a month on the third Thursday. You may also sit on a board which would require approximately an additional hour per month. Do any of these commitments create any issues for you, or do you have any other commitments that conflict with these meeting times?
No, I don't.
Thank you. Excuse us for a minute. Thank you very much. Appreciate your time.
Salary for this, if it, I mean, if it helps.
Yeah, we're earning what we're paid to do, right?
I'm sorry.
I think I'd get my salary double.
Mine doubled when I got to be mayor.
Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah, good.
So
when do I get my raise?
I may have fixed something. Stand by. I may have fixed it. I'm not sure.
Thank you, Cindy. I was just yanking.
It goes on a schedule and then it thing. And she keeps it on a pretty taut schedule.
My family hates me. I turned 50 this year, and so lots of things are happening.
Yeah. 55. You'll start getting your AARP stuff
in the mail. Oh, no. I already do. And I'm joining the senior center. I don't care what the age requirement is. I'm joining. I want to go to that potluck. Dang it.
My first senior visit before I was 55.
My family's hating me right now because I'm like, why is the heater on? Because it's 20 degrees outside, Mom.
I take advantage of that senior discount.
$5 off. Yeah.
I got all excited. Like, yay, 50. No. Nothing. I woke up with more back pain.
I'm out of your tail.
I'm gaining weight.
Yeah.
And they're not
going to.
They don't drop them when they a little like if they ask.
They don't have anything protected.
No, they were
nothing.
Actually, doing here, something like that. But.
Whatever you guys want to do, figure it out.
The silence is going to be deafening for a moment. I make a nomination for Nicholas Wiggins.
I'll second it.
I have a motion and a second, or a nomination and a second, Nicholas Wiggins. Wish we had an additional person here, but I'm going to call for a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Thank you very much. Nicholas, assume the position of city
council.
He
seconded.
Yes. Yes. Cindy's going to swear. Yeah. No, you're going to stand over there because Cindy's going to swear at you. Okay. And then there'll be pictures taken.
Just got to get all this done here.
Did we happen to mention about the party that he has thrown up?
No. We wait till he's sworn in.
Okay.
There was a process.
Yes, swear, man. Let's get this guy.
Yes.
I'm getting there. The drum roll, everybody.
We're going to make you official here.
Raise your right hand. Repeat after me. I, Nicholas Wiggins, do solemnly swear.
I, Nicholas Wiggins, do solemnly swear.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the State of Oregon.
The Constitution of the State of Oregon.
And the laws thereof.
And the laws thereof.
And the codes of the City of Winston.
And the codes of the City of Winston.
And that I will perform the duties of City Councilor to the best of my ability.
And I will perform the duties of City Councilor to the best of my ability.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Shake hands. Look at me. Smile. Perfect. Thank you.
Just a little bit of a commanding presence
right there.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you, Thomas.
Sign those.
This guy's going to need a packet.
Congratulations. Yes. I sent him one electronically.
Yeah. We'll
give you a physical packet here, so you can go through it with us. Okay.
Take that first.
He needs a front page. Okay, while we're finishing the paperwork up here, we're going to go ahead and get this meeting on the roll. Consent agenda. And by the way, thank you all for applying. We appreciate you being here and going through the process. Participation in your city government is a very valuable thing to do, and I would hope that you guys will all continue in your efforts. Thank you. Council minutes, November 4th and November 18th, seeking a motion to approve.
Your Honor, if I may, briefly, on the November 18th minutes, there is a correction. Councilor White nominated Dave Cunningham for council president. It has down Alan Hobson.
I was going to actually amend the minutes.
Great. Okay. I jumped the gun there. Thank you.
No, that's good. All the errors that we made. So, with those corrections,
I make a motion that we approve the minutes on November 4th and November 18th, 2024, in each case.
Thank you.
I second it with the amended November 18th.
Correct.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Thank you very much. Comment from the audience. Anyone wishing to discuss items not covered on this agenda is welcome to address the City Council as a whole. Please state your name and address for the record. Each speaker will be given a maximum of 3 minutes. Speakers may not defame, intimidate, or use profanity or personal affronts. The council reserves the right to delay action until they have full information on the issue. Would anyone like to speak to council? Thank you very much. Seeing none. Reports, boards, commissions, committees, and schools. The young lady from Douglas High School had another commitment tonight. Department reports, administration, Mr. McIntosh, please.
Thank you, Mayor, members of council, our additional new member of council, and members of the audience. Real quick, I have just one item that I'd like to cover briefly. FEMA has implemented some mandatory changes for all jurisdictions that participate in the National Flood Insurance Program. This was covered some at the League of Oregon Cities Conference. There was a consulting attorney there that had a very intricate presentation that helped a lot of jurisdictions in that regard. Winston, of course, we participate in that. In 1978, we adopted floodplain regulations. In turn, FEMA would allow flood insurance to be available to our residents. In 2009, FEMA was sued by several environmental groups in Oregon for failing to consider certain developments that happened in the floodplain as it relates to the Endangered Species Act. More specifically, a few salmon breeds and an orca whale that eats those salmon. In 2010, they settled. I say that jokingly, Mayor, but it's in all reality.
I'm going to let you go here.
Okay. In 2010, FEMA did settle, and they agreed to implement some changes that would essentially require jurisdictions to evaluate that. So by December 1st, which is yesterday, jurisdictions have a grand total of 3 options. Number 1, place a moratorium on all development in the floodplain. That's option 1, obviously very extreme. A lot of watershed in the city. Number 2 is adopt a model floodplain ordinance, a new one that was crafted by FEMA that has a litany of things in there that they would definitely want citizens to do if they want development in floodplain-prone areas. Number 3 is essentially to default to a permit-by-permit basis. That means a permit that is requested, we evaluate it based on those merits. We may require a habitat assessment based on the detriment, but we deal with it on a case-by-case basis. Essentially, that's something that the council will have to kick around. The strong recommendation from staff, as is from many jurisdictional bodies, is to default to the permit-by-permit basis. The first one is just a little too extreme. You don't want to prohibit development in the floodplain, especially people that, have been, kind of sitting on properties that they've had that are inundated in the floodplain for years and years, and they finally maybe want to do something with it. There should be a way to prove that what they're doing won't cause a detriment through a study or through something. The second one is a development ordinance. It was crafted by FEMA. In that regard, we're always a little iffy by something that's crafted by another jurisdiction. They're really looking out for their interests, and it's not being crafted by individuals that either are employed by the city or are elected by the city. So the last one is really, to us, your only viable recourse for the time being. If jurisdictions do default to this option, we will likely have a visit from FEMA, which is fine. All of our development permits, we have a floodplain administrator on staff. We orchestrate these in the appropriate way and fashion. So just wanted to fill the council in on that. Happy to take any questions.
Yeah, I have one question. If on default three, on permit by an individual basis, does any of this have to go back to FEMA? So each individual permit wouldn't have to go back to FEMA?
No, they don't. The only thing that would have to be ratified by FEMA is if you were doing a letter of map amendment. You were changing a national flood insurance rate map. That's the only thing, and that's someone proved by data that they're actually above. The FEMA map shows that they're in. It's an inadvertent inclusion, and they take themselves out. That's mostly to exempt yourself from flood insurance. You don't have to pay it anymore if you prove that stuff. But all of our base-level development permits, none of that has to go to FEMA. We adopted those regulations, and so we're the regulatory body that's required to carry them out. They will, however, come in and audit how you are doing your permits. So that's something we have to be cognizant.
So are you seeking a resolution from council to support your decisions? Or
not at this time. I'm going to prepare some more information. There is a presentation, a slide deck that I'm going to send out just to provide a little more of a foundation for it. This is just an initial broad strokes on that. And then it doesn't necessarily require a resolution, but we will most likely want, at the very least, a motion from the council.
I have one question. If you have a property, let's say it's one of the RV parks, and they're already in the floodplain, and they want to expand their property in the floodplain, would that require a new permit or a revision of the existing permit? And what would happen if we denied the permit?
Yeah, so depending on what you're talking about expanding, if it's structural development, if it's physical development, yes. Any man-made change in the floodplain requires re-review or the updating or amending of an existing permit. If they're getting a new permit, like, we have just a lot of properties in that are exposed to watershed. A lot of them are vacant for that very reason. They don't want to go through the extra trouble of getting extra permitting to develop in an area that might be inundated. But regardless of how you look at it, it definitely requires review from the city and concurrence.
Thank you.
Anything else from Mr. McIntosh? Chief Sardi?
Mayor, council members. Mayor asked me to give an update on what's going on with our radio project. It's been a little frustrating. Community members, council members. So, to kind of give you a rundown, is I called today a guy by the name of Calvin. He's a boss down there in Medford. Asked him what we're going to do with all the bills that are coming in. It's been a long process where Cindy's getting all these bills. I have an understanding of some of that knowledge, radio knowledge, of what that equipment is that they're billing us for, but the normal person does not. And I'm like, we're getting $15,000 bills. We're getting $600. You want me to sign these off? It's not okay with me. And so I directed her to hold everything for Motorola and Day Wireless until we have the property at hand. And it's been over a year. So I kind of ripped on that guy a little bit. He's actually going to meet me on Thursday. And me and Cindy are going to sit in my conference room and go through the bills and figure this out so we get everything documented properly. I told him, I'm not going to have this. You bought this. Where is this going on? So it's almost $300,000, a lot of money. That being said, I also confronted him about our patrol cars that I ordered in January, the end of January, and that have been sitting in the parking lot in Salem since the end of May for 6 months. That's half of our warranty is still in the way up there, and it's going to cost our taxpayers money when those cars break down because they're not under warranty. So I'm a little frustrated about that. Two new cars sitting up there, they're fully outfitted with no radios in them. So I ripped on them about that.
So that we're not done. Fully outfitted, though.
No radios, right? So when they ordered the radios, when they ordered them for the two new cars, and this is for last year's budget, the one that burnt up, right, that I did a year ago, and the other car that we just replaced that blew up the motor, we don't have those cars. I'm due for cars again, right? It's dirty dishes. They wear out, you replace them, right? That's why we got the public safety fee. Well, the problem is that we're wearing them out, and we're not able to replace them. And so we're running into a bind. And it's very uncommon to order a car a year in advance.
Yeah.
But we ordered it in January, both cars, and I didn't get them until the end of May. And they've been sitting in the park. The license plates are sitting in the lieutenant's office. And so I'm really frustrated about it, and we're going to have more discussions on that on Thursday. So we're going to move forward. He promised me that he was going to take care of us. He's really wanting the $13 million project the county's doing for their upgraded radio system. And I've already had my meetings with the sheriff and all the other chiefs in the county and told him what I thought so far. So if he does us dirty, we'll have a problem. I don't think he's going to. I really don't. I think he's going to take care of us, but it's been a process.
But Chief, he's already done us dirty.
Yeah.
Well,
we're all... We have radios in our cars. Right. They'd be installed, they'd be running down the road.
Problem is this, is when Motorola went, this is all COVID. So when COVID took place, tell me about it. Motorola decided in England, okay, where they're from, over in Europe, that they are not going to produce or build radios until they have the invoice for the radio. So in other words, the minute we purchase the radio, they're going to build the radio. It's literally 6 months to a year out. Douglas County just went through this. We're going through it right now with radios, with Calvin, this guy in Medford. So I just told him, we are not spending a dime of our money until I have the product in hand, period. I'm done. So he acted pretty frustrated. He was heading to Portland to rip faces, and then he was going to meet with me on Thursday, and he said he will get it all done and taken care of. And I'm like, well, you better.
So help me to understand, please. Are there options in other manufacturers?
Not really. Yes and no. So I've used portable radios since 1988, and I will tell you the Motorola product has been a 10. I don't want to veer from that. We have a Kenwood product. Merle Creek tried doing that. They actually got a really good deal on Kenwood radios. Problem being is now that they're doing the radio upgrade, they're not going to have the mapping feature on them. So these portable radios are not a portable radio like this. This is a $600 radio. The radios that we got are about $8,000, okay? They're like a smartphone.
Oh.
So now what they do, and Motorola is basically connected the market on this. So the reason that we went with the APX 8500 is not only now, if we have this orange button right here, if I push that button, dispatch goes crazy, and they're like, Winston 1 is officer down situation, okay? If we have the new radios, now they have a screen on. That screen has a GPS location of every officer wherever they're at. So the radios now, we used to have five radios here, right? We'd have, you know, five guys on, or one guy on at a time, but five radios, so we always had, it's not a big deal. But how do they get money, right? They make them so you have to sign them to officers. So we have to sign them out. But that radio, what that does is that if an officer is not being located or we can't find them on the computer in the car, or say he's on the brush, which we're always in the woods, right, chasing bad guys, is that we can find them on the GPS and the radio. So if we're setting up a perimeter, a sergeant or lieutenant comes on the shift, he can look and he can say, okay, I got a couple people on this side, I need some over on this side. And he can set that perimeter up for our dog to go to work. So that's kind of how those radios work now. And Motorola has the market on it. None of the other ones do. And the chief down there, Merle Grease, called me and already said, what do you got to get? So he bought these radios, he's going to sell them, but he's going to get the ones that we need. So we need a Motorola radio.
Is there any other recourse except besides holding back payment?
No. No, they have promised me, this main boss, that he just got a promotion actually, and he's going to be out of Portland, but he told me he will take care of us. And I told him that he better.
But when?
Well, the problem is getting the product. Once they have the product, they'll bring it down here.
We're not taken care of.
Well, we're not yet. You're right.
Until the radio show up.
Preach to the choir, Mayor. I know. That's why I kind of ripped on them today. So we're getting some ground, I think.
So. Have they even shipped? Hmm? Have they shipped?
Well, they haven't been manufactured yet.
Right. No, they are. So they were shipped, okay, and they were delivered. And they came down to install them. And I had an install guy come out and ask me what this one particular radio goes into. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And he goes, that must be going into the chief's car. What are you talking about? Well, it's a 110-watt radio. I'm like, yeah, they all should be. No, they're not. What are you talking about? So I went out there, and all the radios that we got were 50-watt radios. Not the right radio.
No.
So basically, we were going to go with, if he wouldn't have showed me that, I would have never known, because I don't have a meter to test with the power outage of those radios is going to be, right? So we would have ran into a whole other problem. of not being able to. Our portable radio works off our mobile. Our mobile's 110 watt that pushes the dispatch, okay? So if they're in Camas Valley and a car chase going over Camas Mountain, we can reach our dispatch center.
Good.
But if we had a 50 watt radio, we could not. And so what that would have done is our portable radios work off a repeater on that car. So these are 5 watts, the new ones are 6 watts. If we're in a residence in Winston right now, we cannot communicate with our dispatch center. And I kind of grew up that way since 96. I just lived that way. Well, we had Rosemary City down here back and some guys that crashed and guns and everything. They were appalled. They couldn't even believe that we didn't have communication. I'm like, not only that, we only got one guy out. Threw that out, right? Not seven, right? So they were just like, wow. And that was one of the directives the mayor gave me when I took over, is that this needs to be dealt with. And we're in the right direction. We got the funding. That was the biggest problem. We're just trying to get the product.
So the correct product has not shipped.
I want to make sure the correct
that's,
product.
That's the one I was right. talking about when that's, I said it hadn't shipped.
Right. Right.
So the bills that we've been getting are mm-hmm. the products that we haven't gotten.
We haven't gotten it. We have one radio installed in one of our school cars that I wanted to get the repeater going in that so we can get the school. Whole other issues that the officers in the schools have to use their cell phones to talk to us. So I was trying to get the school officer taken care of. The problem is we don't have the pack sets. So it doesn't matter, right? We can't use these radios. These are analogs. Can't use them on the repeater. So we're in a catch 22. So
you said the follow-up meeting is on Thursday?
This Thursday, yeah.
Is there an agenda for the Thursday meeting?
We're just going to go over billing right now. We want to make sure that...
We're just worried about how the billing is coming in.
Yeah. As far as the product coming in and things coming, it's supposedly moving. I want to make sure that we are paying for what we get.
Did he give you an idea of when it would ship?
He didn't. No. He has no idea. You know, this has been going on for a year and a half.
Yeah. Actually, this has been going on for almost 7 years.
Right. There's a monopoly on this. We're getting closer. Well, the purchasing and the money has happened in the last year to get us moving in the right direction. But the biggest problem is trying to find the funding. Right. Douglas County's in a big, big bind on the radio system here. And
you're the only person out there in the world
that they have a monopoly on this. Dave Wireless has it connected. There's a place called, it's in Roseburg. There's a, what's the name of it? There's another radio shop. It's a local radio shop. They deal with Kenwood radios. We went that route. We're not going to have that communication component for officers that work in dispatch. Can't go that route. They have the monopoly on Motorola radio.
They're holding us hostage just a little bit.
We're going to get there.
We're actually, away at it.
I feel like we're going to get there. So we're closer. It's just, you know, I'm a squeaky wheel deal right now. And I don't think we need to be paying for a product we don't have. So that's the radio issue. We had three cameras pulled, our license plate reader cameras pulled off of ODOT highways. So ODOT, a month ago, we had a meeting, chief's meeting, at my station, and I actually brought the flock guy down to discuss options because I had an issue with, and I think I brought this up last time, I had an issue with the fact that the taxpayer is paying for four cameras that between the city of Roseburg and the county. Each camera is $3,000 a year that they pay for. We have four cameras just a mile and a half apart. Two of them at the OSP office on Northeast Stevens by UCC. The other two are Keller Lumber. Same thing's happening on Melrose Road in Garden Valley. And I'm like, as a taxpayer, Douglas County, I have a problem with that. Like, why aren't we getting our best bang for our buck, right? And why aren't we utilizing them to benefit our patrol staff? And I don't care what agency is doing what. We're all teamed up together. So I brought everyone together to do that. And we're getting headway on that because there's been some issues, but we're working that out, and I think we're going to get some ground. The problem is I also brought ODOT in, and ODOT, they have an issue. The state patrol, which is drives me nuts, I think state police needs to have the license plate readers, but the policies of our governor do not allow it. That's all I can say on that. So they do not want us, and I'm thinking child abductions. Could you imagine having cameras on the freeway for child abductions, stolen cars, murder suspects, anything we need? It's crazy. And all they do, they're not an invasion of privacy. They lock on the license plate and they let us alert it to our LEDNCIC, which is our database to let us know a car that we put in there is a stolen car or a kid that was kidnapped or whatever. They're a 10. I have them in all locations around the city. You can't come in or out of Winston without them. But they took three of them down and when I was gone at Elk County. By the way, my Elk County.
Why doesn't the governor let us do it?
The governor, the policies are basically that they don't want state police to be involved in it, and ODOT has been directed not to have them on their highways. So the problem is it's their highway right through
those
our town.
Those are ODOT
right?
jurisdictional highways.
Right, so you cannot have certain things on.
They're regulated by the state, and so therefore they govern those.
Their argument was the posts that they set them up on were not tested for crash. It's a
not crash rated.
Not crash rated. I mean, honestly, to give me a post that's crash rated so I can put my stupid camera on, right? It's not a hard decision to make. So, but that's happening out of Salem. The ODOT guys here in locally totally support it, hate the fact that it's happening. They want it to be there. So we're working some angles. I got some private property that we're trying to
put it on a.
Has to be, the angles have to be proper, right?
Yeah.
And so we're working on that. So we got a spot out on the owner of the property that bought Nichols' property there behind him. He told me I could put him wherever I want on his property. So I got a spot that I'm going to go. Nice to have him as a reserve, isn't
it? You're kind of connected there.
Yeah, so that one's going to be taken care of. Yeah, and I'm working. We had the other two at Kelly's Corner. So I'm trying to get those back. We're going to figure those out. So those are the other two that they pulled, and one of our most active ones. So so that's in the process. And Lieutenant, I think, found when I was gone, elk hunting, that I actually do stuff. No, nothing. He's like, you know, what do you do? So I'm like, oh, yeah. He had a stack for me, right? And I'm still working through it. We still have an officer out on medical. He's going to be out for another, 3 months, 4 months? So literally... The hiring of our sixth man, right? 2 years ago? Yeah, 2 years ago. We've had about 3 months of an experience of having our sixth man. It's like there's something in the air to keep us from having that sixth guy.
We don't want to talk about what's in the air.
I don't know what it is. So, yeah, so we've experienced 3 months of that. The guys are really excited about having that and actually having a little bit of overlap, but they're not getting that anymore. So, I said, I don't know what to do. So, hopefully he comes back. He had back surgery, young guy. So I hope.
Will somebody else go out there?
Please don't say that.
Oh, man.
So, well, anyway.
He's got a
bear. Bear. Believe me, this distance, you don't need to move.
I hope not.
No,
hey,
no.
I'm
no,
looking
no.
for the insurance policy.
I'm pretty good at this distance. So, I am going a little blind, but other than that, that's it. That's all I have for council.
Thank you very much. Any questions for the chief?
Did you get an elk?
I did not. We got snowed out. Yeah. I have a whole story to take an hour, but it was a good time.
Yeah.
We had a great time.
Part of it.
But,
you should have been here at 5:30. You could have gone.
Yeah. When we got about a foot and a half overnight, and I woke up and I looked out there, and I'm like, I got a 37-foot fifth wheel. And so I'm like, this might be a problem. My dad's like, let's go hunt. All right, let's go. Then we started pushing snow at the front of the truck, and I'm like, yeah, we got to get out of here. So it's time to go back.
We don't have time for your story.
Well, I got some good stories, but no, that's it. So, Noel, I was in the elk, too.
Is there anything we can do as citizens to help you with the flock cameras? I mean, with the governor,
you know,
petition, write
so
letters?
It's a statewide problem. It's not a Winston problem. It's a statewide problem, and all the agencies that we're teaming up with, they all know, and the governor's office knows as well. OSP is trying to get that. I actually sat with the commander at the last meeting, and I said, if your governor won't give you a license, I will give you one of our licenses, and your guys can use my signs to run anywhere in the state. So if he wants to take that on, he's a fairly new lieutenant there, so I don't know if he's going to take that challenge, but I offered it to him so he can actually, his troops can use our network. Because our network goes throughout the state and even farther. Like, if I get an alert in California, it'll tell me, and then I just subpoena the California records to get them. But anywhere in the state of Oregon, I get it right away.
I would think that any of the state representatives or congressional elected
they're
officials
pushing it. We talked to Virgil Osborne about it a little bit. Who's the other guy that I talked to? Can't think of his name. I politic a little bit.
Voice, maybe.
Yeah.
Who?
Court voice.
Voice, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I kind of let them know. So.
They could put them up with the trip check cameras that are already installed all over the state.
I don't think it's about the cameras and it's about the fact of what we're using them for. And for some reason,
lives.
We want to close our prisons down. I can go on a rant, right?
Okay.
And we can go out, you know, we can close our prisons down and let out all these people and not.
Thank you very much, Chief. Thank you very much.
All right.
Moving right along.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Starting to get worked up. No.
Thank you.
You miss my weeklies now, don't you?
can talk to him all you want. Okay, seeing no old business, new business, council workshop dates, Mr. McIntosh?
None at this time, Your Honor.
Thank you, sir. Staff Christmas party, Christmas gift cards. We talked about that last time. Do you need a resolution approved for that?
No,
we
just
did that, didn't we?
Just a motion to approve your traditional gift card gifts, if you will, for staff employees. Last year it was $50. The year before, I believe, it was
$50.
$50. Is it still on the 13th?
Our Christmas party's on the 19th.
Okay, so I need a motion, please.
I move that we send out Christmas gift cards to the staff in the amount of $50.
Second.
Motion and a second. All in favor? Aye. Opposed, same sign. There you go. Thank you very much. Resolution number 24-1161, Employee Handbook Update. By title only, please, Ms. Sardi.
Thank you, Mayor. Resolution number 24-1161, a resolution of the City of Winston, Oregon City Council approving the final draft employee handbook and authorizing the city manager to execute final concurrence with the city, county, insurance, and legal services.
Thank you, Ms. Hardy. Staff report, Mr. McIntosh, please.
Thank you, Mayor, members of council, members of the audience. This employee handbook before you today is fully updated, and it has all the necessary provisions both required by state statute and the recommended provisions from CIS, or City County Insurance, and the League of Oregon Cities. It went through a very drastic research and investigative process. It also went through a 10-day review or feedback comment period for all of our city staff in the city. In case there were suggested revisions of any kind, those were taken in, factored in fully. There's a couple of things that we want to highlight. The dissolution of the Public Works Union really necessitated taking a look at this. There are several things that were in that union contract, such as boot allowances, pants allowance, some different language that we needed to still capture and offer them those amenities. So the employee handbook was the obvious recourse for that. In addition, there have been, since 2014, which was our last employee handbook update, there have been several legislative changes and different things as it relates to the Oregon Paid Leave Act, the Family Paid Leave Act, bereavement leave, those types of things that really needed to be factored in terms of employee-employer mutual protections and provisions. So those were looked at. In concurrence, or in conclusion, the city attorney did look at this. He was not happy. I mean, it's a lot of pages, so it took him a little bit of time. As I'm sure that you folks were thrilled to go through the 48 pages. I think our last one was about 78, so we did cut down. This is the CIS.
You just made the sprint and the print smaller. It's all you changed.
I think it's a little
bigger.
There's
just as many words. You just made the print. The font's a little different.
I provided some of my own, so I think, yeah, that definitely exacerbated it a little bit. But this is the CIS template. So this template was reviewed and unveiled May of this year. So it's the updated of the updated version. So we took this and we modified it and made it our own, and made sure that it catered to the situation that we have here and our employees, and specifically capturing some of the things that we don't want falling by the wayside that was captured in a union contract that's no longer relevant. So this encapsulates a lot of work, a lot of effort, but it is fully necessary for the benefit of the city and our employees. It concludes my staff report. Happy to take any questions.
Thank you, Mr. McIntosh. Comments or questions from the audience? Council?
Thomas, reading through this, I noticed there is several mentions of unions still. Is that okay for you to attend?
Yeah, well, where it's mentioned, because we still have a Winston Police Association union. So the Winston Police Association has procedures and policies of their own, and there's contractual language. So essentially we had to put a caveat in that says if there's anything that conflicts with the WPA provision prevails for those individuals that are subject to that union contract. So those areas, we had to kind of fit those in. The rest of the language just applies to what we would call at-will employees, which are the rest of our employees in the city.
Thank you. Any more questions? Seeking a motion to approve.
May I make a motion that we approve 24-1161.
Have a motion. Looking for a second?
Second.
Have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thank you.
Mayor, excuse me for interrupting for just a moment. Maybe I missed it. But when we discussed the Christmas cards, okay, I don't remember seeing anything about the staff Christmas party.
We'll get to that.
Well, that's right after that in Section B, and we were already on Section C.
Well, okay.
Okay.
Thomas, did you have a date and time for that?
Yes, sir. That is the 19th of this month. It's at 1 p.m., and it's in the grand room at the community center. And we will have, so traditionally the staff will be there as well as the council, and we will have food, and it'll be catered.
Be there or be school?
1 p.m., that is what we decided. Yeah.
Thank you. Appreciate you catching that, Councilor. Resolution number 24-1162, aeration basin blower installation. By title only, please, Ms. Sardin.
Thank you, Mayor. Resolution number 24-1162, a resolution of the City of Winston, Oregon City Council authorizing the city manager to enter into an agreement with Bateson Enterprises, LLC, to install an aeration basin blower at the Winston Green Wastewater Treatment Plant in an amount not to exceed $42,500.
Mr. Sherlock, staff report, please.
Yes. So we purchased a blower last budget year, but it came in so late we weren't able to get it installed. This is a just a backup blower to add redundancy to the system, because currently if our blower goes down, we lose the plant, so to speak. So it is important. We got two bids. We requested bids from two other different contractors and didn't hear back from them. So,
so is this the 42.5? Is that split between us and Green? And
yeah.
So that's our responsibility, was 21.250.
Correct.
Yep. Okay. Thank you. Any questions from the audience? Council? Seeking a motion to approve, please.
I move that we approve resolution number 24-1162.
Have a motion. Looking for a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Thank you so much. Resolution 24-1163, a review of the fee schedule amendment. By title only, please, Ms. Sardin.
Thank you, Mayor. Resolution number 24-1163. A resolution of the City of Winston, Oregon City Council amending the City of Winston fee schedule, and resolution number 23-1108 to update a variety of fees associated with parks, Winston Community Center, and the city's municipal court.
Thank you, Ms. Sardin. Staff report, please. Andy Howell.
Basically, the updated fees are something that I'll kind of start with the thing that we have replaced the pavilion, so we didn't have that on there, so we've got the request for the pavilion to be on there, so you'll see that one. The ball fields, the other one over the last few years, as Anik and some other folks on the park board can testify to the fact of, we've been, a lot of folks wanting to use the ball fields, so we've actually sat down and working with the park board and reaching out to the other, some other local cities, primarily Roseburg quite heavily, on coming up with a more of a scheduled to allow more use of the ball field. So that's what this is. It's blocks of time. So the new blocks of time will allow four teams to play throughout the week on each field, so potentially eight different teams, and with two options for week rentals also for four other teams. So we're going to try that one out this year and see how that works. We're kind of excited about that. So that's that fee there. And then on the community center fees, the last fee we did, as council recalls, was in 2021. We did a little over 20%, which was a little bit of a, that was a little high of a hike at that time, we kind of thought, but you know, it's been so long. So staff did some research on reaching out, kind of get an idea of where we're at. So we landed on that 10%, and basically it's a 10% rounding up to a dollar for the community center. So that's what Public Works has.
Thank you. Andy, on the baseball thing, just take, you know, the Amos R. Osborne Field, that's two times a week, March through September, mm-hmm. for a buck and a quarter. Is that for the whole season, or is that per week?
That's for the season.
Okay.
Primarily, it was $100. We've added a month to that, Mayor, just because of the use and the folks want to come use it. So we talked to the folks that have been using it, and they actually said, too, by the way, you guys need to raise your fees. Not trying to be, and he was really good to work with, by the way. But he just said, you know, because we do have a lot of dollars and time spent to maintain
things. I always find it interesting when a customer tells you you're not trying to be.
But you know what's funny, though?
I like that.
But we never really did. You know, it's all about getting the kids and the folks out on the field. It's always been the city's primary get these. You know, we water it, we irrigate it, we fertilize it. We want kids, we want people out there utilizing them. So we never did price that out. So we're pretty comfortable with that one. And then the flexibility working with who that may be, because we've had, I know Deb could talk to that one, but we've had phone call, and then in the past, somebody would lock up the whole season. Mm-hmm. Lock it up and not use it. I'm just, you know, it was very frustrating. So that's come to an end. Hopefully, the council approves this tonight, it'll allow more use of those fields.
Perfect. Thank you very much. Any comments or questions from the audience? Council, any questions or comments? I need a motion to approve resolution 24-1163, the fee schedule amendment.
I think I'll
second.
Okay, I've got motion from Nicholas and a second from Councillor Cunningham. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Thank you very much. Moving right along here. So we're looking for a motion to approve 24-1164, the police building dedication. By title only, please, Ms. Sardi.
Thank you, Mayor. Resolution number 24-1164. A resolution of the City of Winston, Oregon City Council authorizing staff to move forward with naming the police department facility after former police chief Scott Google, who passed away from cancer earlier this year.
Thank you, Ms. Sardi. Staff report. Chief Sardi, please.
So, at the chief's funeral, I brought it up to the manager that I worked with Scott for 24 years as a chief, and then 14 years as his right-hand man. And we pushed to get, with the support of our community, and by no means, it's not the community that didn't make it happen, but the members on the council and people trying to get us into our own facility. I mean, we were looked at as probably one of the worst facilities in the state, because we were broken up and just kind of pushed into closets in this building. It's not big enough. When Mark Bauer came into play and Scott was doing the interim, they really pushed with counselors to get this done. And when they got the building done, we moved forward with it. We got moved in, and he was able to experience it for about 4 months. And in 4 months and one day, I called him and told him that this office is more mine than his. He got a kick out of it, but I just got to tell you that. It's more mine now than it is yours. But that being said, he was a good friend. He was a good leader. He was good to all of us. And I continue to keep his, basically his style of management within the organization, at least until I leave. That being said, just because it's molded into me. That being said, at his funeral, I brought up that I wanted to, and I was kind of wondering how that was going to go with the mayor, because I hadn't talked to them at all. And I said, hey, I want to make sure before I leave that we nominate, or we make this building a memorial building for Scott Google.
Cool.
And the mayor and Alan both hit me up and said they supported it. So I was a little bit more thinking, how that's going to go. But I just kind of jumped on it and said we were doing it.
That being said, I want to move forward with this, but there's a process in this. There's a proclamation that has to be done. There's a ceremony component that needs to be done. They just did the Wayne Stenson building up in Roseburg. I didn't get to attend it, and Wayne was a mentor of mine. Anyways, anywhere from $10,000 to $15,000 to do this. It's a little spendy, a little more than I thought, right?
Oh, you got extra money in your budget.
Yeah, well, it's going to be something that we need to budget for next year. So, or at least move it forward that we're working on it. Maybe we'll piece it out or whatever, but I want it done right. Yeah. And so, and signs are not cheap. I didn't realize how expensive they were. So I want the family involved, and I know the family very well. So I will have it set up right. We'll come up with a design, and we'll get it push through and get that building.
What are you going to name it? Scott
Google Memorial Building, kind of like what we did with Harold Forney here on this building, okay, where they took it down. So yeah, same type of deal. I just got to come up with signage. I want to make it right, and so if it takes us longer than a year, however long I'm here, I'll make sure that it happens before I leave. That's my goal. So
right on.
So basically, this is a staff report asking the council to give me permission to continue to move forward and conquer.
Chief, I appreciate that. Any comments from the audience? Seeing none, council?
I move to approve resolution 24-1164.
Have a motion? No, he already made the motion.
Second.
Okay, yeah, a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Thank you very much, Chief. Carry
Thanks,
on.
Sir. Thank you.
Upcoming agenda items, Mr. McIntosh?
Mayor, just something you'll have to entertain the council, as you do every year during the holiday season, is if you are going to have your second meeting on the second Monday of this month.
Unless there's something pressing, I don't see a need. Unless somebody else has something coming up.
No, I'm good with that. I'm good with that, too.
Yeah. Perfect.
At this point.
Okay. Anything else?
No, Your Honor, thank you.
Because we've not had one as long as I've been here that I can recall, so just the one meeting. Okay, non-agenda items from council. Good of the order, the check copies were in our packet with claims in excess of $500. Announcements, Wreaths Across America, December 14th, 2024, 1 p.m. at the Roseburg VA Cemetery. I am going to be unable to attend. I would encourage other members of council to please be there if you can. I think that's a great cause to support. Executive session, Mr. McIntosh?
None, Your Honor.
Thank you very much. Adjournment, goodbye.
Meeting adjourned, 8:08.